According to Michael Newton, he regressed, I've read as many as 10,000. For some reason, it seemed like when he wrote his book, he said 3,000, but one of his students recently said he regressed about 10,000. They go to what you call the kingdom of the soul. Everybody there has an inner soul group composed of 6 to 12 people or something like that. And then they're connected to other soul groups. And then there's all kinds of teachers that descend that's higher up that make teachings available for those who, that's suitable for the level that you're on. One thing I found interesting, which will be interesting to see after we die, is everybody has a different color depending on their state of evolution. And he says the young souls are white, which, matter of fact, some people say that the young and the oldest souls are white. But Michael Newton says that from his experience, from his regressions, that young souls are white, and then they get a red hue, and then yellow, and then green, then blue, and then darker blue, and the darker the blue, the more evolved. So they get a very dark blue indigo for the very highly evolved souls. So when you're over there, as soon as you meet anybody, you can tell where they are in their evolution, which would be quite interesting. Here we can't really tell. And you take the average person, he can't tell the difference between a person with a Christ consciousness and a person that's a used car salesman.
So. Will the soul level show up in an aura?
To a degree. The aura is composed of the astral matter, and it's not 100% reliable, but it's the more evolved souls will have violet and gold in their aura. And the colors that they do have will be very rich and pure. The lesser evolved souls may have some interesting colors, but they'll look a little muddy or something like that. And that'll be because their thoughts are confused. Their lives are somewhat corrupted, so the colors in their aura will not be pure. And they'll be tainted with like black spots and dark spots or dark brown. All the colors are good in their pure state, whether it be red, orange, yellow, blue, or whatever. If they look pure, then they will be, it's a sign the person is progressing as he should be on his level, yeah.
Does your aura change in age, like a child, if you're looking at the aura of a child versus when they become an adult, can that change?
Yeah, it'll change somewhat, and also as your mood changes, your aura will change. If you get angry, you're likely to have a kind of a disturbing red color show up, you know. If you get passionate, it'll be a beautiful red color, you know.
But, like a mood ring. Read Curtis right now. What's he giving off?
Well, shock. It'd take me a while to tune into it. I'd need the right background and everything.
Violet.
Yeah. Violet
flame. Violet and gold and angels are hovering over his head.
Yes. Yeah. But I'll share
No, I think you said Curtis, didn't you? All I see is brown behind it.
I see through the brown. Okay. You wear a brown shirt.
Excuse me. Wouldn't the rays of your different bodies sort of influence those colors that you see?
Yeah. There's different colors associated with a different rays. So if you see prominent colors, blue would be associated with one of the odd rays, 1, 3, 5, and 7. And something like yellow would be more like the solar plexus type. Many people in the sales have a lot of yellow in their aura, the successful salespeople. Okay, and you know, seeing auras is something anyone can learn. It took me quite a bit of practice. I haven't practiced seeing them for 40 years or so, and I can still see if I look intently, but if I had to continue to practice, I'd probably be pretty really good at it by now. You only have time to do so many things in life, and I got it down to where I understood the principles behind it. What I found out is I could intuitively pick up people just about as good as I could by seeing their aura anyway. So didn't need to put a lot more attention on developing that ability. But if you want to develop it, it took me about 3 months of intense work to be able to see them clearly. But once I did, it was pretty affirming, and I realized that it was a real thing. You know, it was something that you can actually teach people to see that's beyond this world. And the easiest thing to see is the etheric body, which I think everybody has been on that exercise. That's something. That's the easiest thing to see that's beyond the physical. Okay, we'll go into several things the Course teaches here. What is God? It doesn't tell us very much about God. It tells us a lot about the Son, but it doesn't tell us a lot about God or heaven. Except God is a really great guy, and heaven is a really great place, you know. Outside of that, it doesn't say a heck of a lot, but it does say a couple things. It says this interesting thing about him. God is an idea, and so your faith in him is strengthened by sharing. What you find difficult to accept is the fact that, like your father, you are an idea. And so it tells us that the father creates the son, and they're all ideas, and you are an idea in the mind of God, so to speak. But you will create sons, and you will become a father to them. So it kind of goes along with the Mormon teaching that the father creates sons and daughters, and they create sons and daughters, and they become a father to them. The idea of the father, the son becoming the father, then creating additional sons, it's kind of a chain of creation. But it says God is an idea. So whose idea is God? Because it says ideas leave not their source. So if God is an idea,
he's our idea.
Where did he come from? So the best answer is that each father also has a father, and he come from them. And it says creation is the producing of ideas. And ideas cannot be destroyed. Ideas are eternal. Once you get an idea out there, like, say, the idea for a song. Before the Beatles created the song Yesterday, I always like to use that because it's a very simple, easy-to-remember melody. Before they created it, it basically had an existence, but a subtle existence that was never manifest. But when they created it, then it manifest. But once it manifested, it cannot be destroyed. You can take copies of the sheet music or the records or the CDs of yesterday and burn them, but the song, the idea of the song, still exists. And you are an idea. God is an idea. All creation is ideas. And in creation, I would suppose, and the Course in Miracles doesn't say this, but I would say that creation happens by coming up with new ideas. You come up with new ideas and new creations, and once an idea is there, it cannot be destroyed. It is eternal. Yeah.
So I'm curious, does the book have a definition for what idea means, or is it just the concept that we have of idea? Because it does define some terms in the book.
Yeah, it does define some terms. It never defines an idea. just uses an idea pretty much the way that we use it in a regular speech. So God is an idea we create by ideas. But I find it quite interesting that God is an idea, and when you run this by A Course in Miracles student, yes, he's somewhat dumbfounded by it.
He has no idea.
Because he has no idea why God is an idea and where the idea come from. Because an idea comes from somewhere. So I think the idea of God is a composite of the life and the universe come up with the idea that God is pretty much a composite life of everything there is. And I think that's the basic idea of what God is. That we just define God in our way of understanding what creation really is. So that God itself, it just says, it makes the statement that Course in Miracles students think is real profound. It just says God is, and that's what we're supposed to get from it. But that doesn't tell us very much. It's just God is. But Course in Miracles students go around repeating that all the time like it's supposed to have a lot of meaning behind it. That's the most profound thing that it says about God, is just God is, and God is an idea. Then it goes into the sun. It says this about the sun. The Son of God is part of the Holy Trinity, but the Trinity itself is one. There is no confusion within its levels because they are one mind and will. You are of one mind and spirit with him. There is one life. That life you share with him. So the Son is an extension of the Father, and to the Son is given all the power that the Father has, all the intelligence he has. It's a total, the Father, it says, did not want to be alone, or none of us want to be alone. So that's why we create, because we create because we do not want to be alone, and we want to create and share our creations. That's an instinct that we have, and the highest lives in the universe have. They create because they have an instinct to share, and you cannot share unless there's some other entities to share with. But in a state of oneness, you have complete sharing, because an idea that is had by one of the sons is instantly shared with all the sons of God. They all get the idea at the same time. So if Asaph, if he's in his heavenly state, if he gets an idea, the rest of us share that idea at the same time.
Do we know it's his idea?
You know everything about everything there, according to the Course.
It's not his idea. It's just an idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the sonship as a whole has the idea, but it can initiate in one of the parts. Okay. So if one of the parts is a self, then it's really like we all got the idea because it's shared with the whole sonship.
What if we all think it's a bad idea?
Well, that happened at one time when we had the idea to create this universe of time and space. Half the sons thought it was a mad idea, and half of them thought it was a good idea. And that was the first time there was any disagreement. Until that time, there was total harmony, until we come up with this mad idea according to the Course.
So we're all just troublemakers.
Yeah.
What am I thinking right now?
So we
that's a bad idea.
So we are the rebels. We decided we come up with this bad idea. Already come up with a bad idea, and
it's on your phone.
And we all went along with it. We thought, well, that's not a really bad idea. That's kind of an interesting idea. And the rest of the sons thought, well, no, this is a good idea. So there was a disagreement. And this was like the original war in heaven, so to speak, over this idea as to whether or not to create a limited world where we were not all-powerful, but we were limited and had to overcome our limitations, and also give us opportunity to play games. Yeah.
Do we have an idea of the number? Because you're saying half the suns agreed, half the suns disagreed, and we have names for these suns?
No, there's a, it doesn't give us an idea of the number, but in the book of Revelations it says one third of the hosts of heaven fell.
Doesn't it say a third part?
So it's quite possible. Now, the Mormons think the third that fell are the devil and his angels, but according to Blavatsky, the third that fell is us. And that goes along with the Course in Miracles.
So we are the sons of...
Yeah, we're the fallen sons.
Yeah. So there's not an, we're not an extension of their creation. We are it?
Yeah, we are the creation.
We're the ones
who... Yeah, we're an extension of God, but we extended ourselves into this world. And we had to do it on the principles of illusion, by falling asleep. So this whole world was created in a dream state. God denied us the opportunity to make this world real, so the only way we could come down here was to fall asleep and dream about it. And that was the only way. And we were stubborn. Heaven denied us the reality of creating this world, so the only way to create it was to fall asleep and dream about it. And this is what we're doing now. We're in a dream state. And the Course in Miracles says the whole purpose of a Course in Miracles is to wake us up. Okay? And when we wake up, the first part of waking up is realizing that we're in a dream. Because most people think that this world is it. This is the real world. But so the first step in waking up is to understand that this is not the real world, this is a dream. And the esoteric teachings go along with that part. They teach this world is illusion. Matter of fact, the Tibetan says that the physical body that we see is not real. It is the real physical body is composed of the etheric matter. This is why the masters can make themselves invisible, because they are able to turn off the projection of their physical self, so they can actually turn themselves invisible when they realize that, totally, that their physical body is a pure illusion.